This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think about this team in general? You know, I know they, going into the Phoenix Suns game, it was six of the next seven games were going to be at home. I came into that saying I needed them to go 5-1. I'll take 4-2, but I really want to see them establish themselves at the Golden 1 Center. I didn't know they were going to lose three of their best players in that time. So things change a little bit. They still have an opportunity to go 4-2 in those six games. But I thought we might get a clear understanding of what this team might be, you know, with that stretch of games. But injuries kind of, you know, or I'll ask you, I'm not even going to speak for you. Did the injuries kind of put a pause on your overall expectations of what you think this team could be?
Yeah, I think the injuries have set back how quickly this thing can come together. Mm-hmm. I still see the trajectory. Like, I still see the season going up. Like, the arrow is still pointed upwards. They have not hit a plateau or anything like that. I even see this team getting better and coming together more the more that they play together. But you see the blueprint. Like, the mm-hmm. blueprint is beautiful. And when it's working to perfection, like we saw it in that Suns game a couple weeks ago, and even before that, it all comes together. I love the fact that they have DeMar and De'Aaron that can close the game out when it comes down to crunch time. I love DeMar's presence when they're on that, like, the other team's going on a 10-2 run, Kenny, right? And yeah. DeMar says, hey, let's go get an easy bucket. Like, and he goes to the free throw line, hits two free throws, and it's a 6-point game. And you look at it and you're like, wow, that stopped the momentum, and then it swings in the Kings' favor. Love that element that he brings. I love what Domantas Sabonis has been doing. He's playing at an all-NBA and all-star level right now to start the season, but people are really starting to notice once again. His injuries, though, it's like Mark Jones puts it perfectly on the broadcast each night, Kenny. Until Domantas Sabonis gets hit in the face, the game really hasn't started. So, like, you know, I love that line. It's the truth because it really hasn't. But to answer your question, it's coming together. We were hoping that it would come together this week. I think you got another week. I think by the beginning of December, you're really going to see Kings basketball start taking off and being able to have a solidified rotation as well as solidified roles. I think we know with Mike Brown and his teams, he's searching for who his guys are to start the season. And I think now he's kind of realized who he's got in his 1-9 lineup. I think the intriguing part is what you're going to look at is when Devin Carter comes into the fold in January and February. And what does that mean for the trade deadline for the Kings? People keep on asking me, like, hey, do they have enough length? I'm like, I don't know if they have enough length, but they have enough shooting, though. So, like, I don't know if that will subsequent one for the other. A lot of question marks still are going to be answered in the next week or so, but it really starts tonight with the Clippers, a big NBA Cup game tonight. Yes. And I think the bigger game, can I be real with you, Kenny?
Yeah.
Is getting money against, it's Monday against OKC. Mm. Like, that's a measuring stick team, right? Like, it's like the Timberwolves. Like, measuring stick team. I know they don't have their I'm blanking the center's name. Oh my god.
Chet Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
They don't have him right now because he's injured. But to go up against SGA and to see how good they're going to be against an MVP front runner, that will be a measuring stick game to kind of see where they're at heading into the month of December.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You're listening to ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento in Odyssey Station. And D-Lo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino. It's your man KC with you right now. D-Lo is en route to the station. He'll be here soon. In the meantime, I'm talking to my
man. Does D'Lo not want to talk about my UConn Huskies? Is that why?
Well, I mean, well,
because like Gino got honored yesterday or 2 days ago. So was there something along with that?
So I can neither confirm nor deny that he may or may not want to talk about the UConn Huskies. I don't know. That's not for me to talk about. But Jake, we did show Gino a lot of love yesterday.
Good.
We did
Good.
Show him a lot of both of us. Dame as well showed him a lot of love. We're breaking that record for sure, man. I want to ask you a question because you brought up an interesting name, Devin Carter. And one of the things that's been going on this week is us as Kings fans, especially since the Kings are not playing and there's no wins to be excited about or anything this week, we got to see Dalton Kennett go for 37 the other night. And that was very, very frustrating for a lot of Kings fans, myself included, because I wanted Dalton Kennett. I wanted either a trade for Kuzma, draft Dalton Kennett, or bring the Sacramento kid, Jared McCain, back home. And they did none of that. They went with Devin Carter. Devin Carter is out for the majority of the season. And, you know, it had people a little frustrated the other day that, you know, we see these other guys playing well and helping in their teams, and Devin Carter isn't available. And then twofold, even when he is available, where is he going to play? Where are the minutes coming from? So, kind of your thoughts on what's been going on this week about, you know, people kind of question if Monty missed that draft pick.
No, Monty didn't miss the draft pick because Devin Carter is going to be an instant impact type of guy on this team. I had the chance of watching Devin Carter because I watched a lot of UConn games. Mm-hmm. I love Big East basketball. Mm-hmm. There's college basketball I love watching. It's the Big East. It's nitty gritty. It's hard nosed type of basketball. It prepares you, I think, personally. If you ask me, that league prepares you the best for any translation into the NBA out of anyone, out of SEC, Big 12, Big 10, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to watch Devin Carter and to see how crafty he is, everyone's going to talk about his offensive output and his three-point shot and what he did at Providence in terms of leading that team to an NCAA tournament and a Big East tournament win. But what I like about Devin Carter the most is his defense, specifically as such a young guy. The other thing that people keep on forgetting is he's a older guy. He's 22 years old. This is not a project. This is a guy that's going to be instant impact when he comes back and when he plays. What people aren't talking about is this. Like, yes, there's no minutes for him right now, but I don't know if the roster is going to be the same when he comes back. Like, I think that they may trade a guard, Kevin Huerter, throwing a name out there, I wouldn't say Keon Ellis because the contract's so good. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Herter's a guy that you could possibly dangle and see if you could get a longer wing for him, and then you insert Devin Carter's minutes into that and you sprinkle that around a little bit. I think Jordan McLaughlin will probably get his minutes taken away when Carter comes back, just to see what Devin can do. But this guy, like I said, instant impact. And maybe he doesn't have a massive impact this year, but this guy will have an impact moving forward. He'll be under a good contract with that, was a 15th overall pick that they had this past year.
Yeah.
He will be an impact guy. They did not miss on, you know, Dalton Kennett would have been an instant impact as well, but I don't think they missed on Devin Carter as Kings fans have been talking about over the past couple of days.
I hear you. One of the things, though, that you talk about Kevin Huerter, I like the way he's played this year. Like, I think he's added a lot. I kind of took for granted his ability to make that offense work with just the threat of his shooting ability, let alone when he starts hitting the shots like he has been. A lot of people have thrown, you know, Kevin Huerter as an option to be traded at the deadline, and I don't know if I want to move on from from Kevin Huerter.
I love Kevin, and I think people are talking about, you know, name another guard that can rebound as well as he has.
Mm.
Name another guard that's in the lanes as much as the amount of deflections he's getting a game. Like, aside from, like, De'Aaron Fox, I would say. Like, Kevin has stepped up his game in every way that Mike Brown has told him to, and he's still hitting his shots, and he's not in his head this year. He's in a great headspace. Like, that's – I'm with you, Ken. Like, I don't – Why move a guy if he's working within this offense? But then you ask, okay, where's Devin Carter's minutes coming from? And I could not tell you.
Mm, Interesting. I want to shift gears just a little bit here because I got Jay Gaten with me. You know, we talk Kings, but he can talk anything. He can talk anything. That's what he does, man. That's why he's one of them dudes out here. The San Francisco 49ers, they've got a game on Sunday in Green Bay. And I said this past Monday, after their loss last week to the Seahawks, I said, it's over for my guys, man. It's over, man. This just ain't the year, whether it's the injuries, whether it's just not really being playing disciplined football on a consistent basis. Super Bowl hangover. I think it's a little bit more than a Super Bowl hangover. I think it's a five-year run hangover that is just maybe come to an end for this group of 49ers. I know math-wise, and if you look at the standings, they're not out of it, but I don't know if this team has what it takes to go on one of those second-half runs that we've seen in the past. What's your thoughts on the Niners, man?
I'm with you, buddy. People are asking me, should we prepare for a Super Bowl run for the 49ers? And I'm like, guys, you know, they got some hard game. Let's go into Lambeau this week and win in Green Bay. And I think it's supposed to snow this weekend in Lambeau. And you might not have your starting quarterback. Brandon Allen might be the starter. I don't know if there's any update from Shanny on that yet.
Purdy, so far, like in the last 15 minutes or so, there's no sign of Purdy at practice right now.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. Mm-hmm. That's not good. I would sound the alarm a little bit. Do you have an alarm for me?
Where's my? I don't have a alarm, but I got air horns.
We do air horns.
Yeah, we do air horns in celebration. I don't know if I want to play air horns right now. There's nothing to celebrate right here. Let's see. Let's this one right here.
I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry.
There we go. Yeah, I'm about to cry.
Yeah. We're about to cry. All right. Good family. They're looking good. All right. They have to play Green Bay. They have to play Buffalo if I'm right on this. They still have divisional games against the Rams and the Cardinals, if I'm correct. If this team makes the playoffs, it's going to be a divisional round game, and it's because they won the division somehow or another. But, I don't think they're going to be able to go anywhere and win. I can't see them going into Philadelphia and winning right now. Maybe, possibly, but that's a hard ask. And I definitely don't see them going into Detroit and winning. There's no shot whatsoever in what Detroit has on them from last year and them remembering how they had that second half debacle against them. I could see the Lions just rolling over on these guys. So when you look at the 49ers, if I were them, be okay with not making the playoffs. Straight up, fam. Get the better draft pick, okay? And see if that could help you a little bit. And then kind of go from there. Because, playoff-wise, like you said, Kenny, it's not looking good. They're not healthy. Nick Bosa's not healthy. Ayuk gone for the year. Purdy's not healthy. Christian McCaffrey hasn't looked like himself. I'm literally saying this. You have to, and you can quote me for it, okay? There's going to be literally an act of God if they make the playoffs. An act of freaking God if that's happening.
I completely understand. But see, so one of the things about it, though, and I think you understand this, and I'm not saying that, they've had the same type of success, but you saw the New England Patriots. You saw them for 20 years be successful how they were. Jake, they weren't a Super Bowl team all 20 years. There were years where they were a little down. I don't know how many times in a row they made the playoffs, but, there were years that were better than others. Some years they were bona fide top three team in the league. Sometimes it's they got the reputation, but talent-wise, maybe they're an 8, 9, 10 team, and they'll figure it out. You're not always going to have the best team, but what they were able to do year after year were they were able to reload. They were able to go from Welker to they turned Edelman into Welker. You know what I mean? They got new characters along the way. And I think that might be where the 49ers are, right? This might be one of those years where, all right, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, that time maybe has run its course. We need to go find the next iteration of this San Francisco run that we have here. And nobody likes that, but that's kind of all there is. That might be what it is.
So this I love that comparison because I do compare the 49ers currently right now to what the Patriots were when they had the Tom Brady years. The reason why the Patriots made the playoffs every year is because the AFC East was a joke. You had Mark Sanchez, you had Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you had whatever quarterback the Dolphins decided to throw out there before Tua. So, again, the AFC East was so easy for them to roll through every single year, especially with Belichick and the way he's gone about things. What I don't like about the 49ers right now is 49er fans are crying that they're not going to make a long Super Bowl run. Like, guys, you know how hard that is on a consistent basis to be consistently good every single year and have the right pieces and everything like that? Like, you have a quarterback. Be happy about that.
Yeah.
You have a star wide receiver in Ayuk and Debo, and even a tight end in George Kittle. Love that. You have the best left tackle in the league. Love that. And a defense that's pretty good. I think they still need to figure out a defensive coordinator. I'm not really – I still think that's the biggest bugaboo of what Kyle Shanahan's dealing with right now, is getting the right defensive coordinator in there who's calling the right plays, because I still think you have Fred Warner, who's one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker in the league, and then Nick Bosa as well, best defensive end in the league. You're not going to win every year. It takes a perfect formula to get back to the Super Bowl and get back to the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. You got to be injury-free. You've got to play really good games and be able to play tight games and win in tight games, which they've proven they have not been able to do. Mm-hmm. Injury bug has hurt them as well. But then they have to play well in situational football. And I feel like situationally, they've been really, really bad this year. Like, really bad.
They've lacked
and
focus.
And it's just a lack of focus, and people can say, "Oh, that stems from a bad special teams." But like, I can point out different areas in the offensive defense where it's just not like, okay. Like, for example, the Geno Smith touchdown this past week. Like, you can be upset by the offense that they didn't drive down the field and run out the clock, but like, the final four plays of that drive where Geno was able to scramble, you're playing a soft cover three. Like, what's the play call there? Right? Like. Right. Well, like, that's not situational football. Throw some heat on the dude, okay? Like, look what Nick Bosa was doing the whole entire game. Show him a blitz. See if they can win outside over with DK or with Lockett and go from there. That's where my frustration is. I don't think they're playing good situational football, and that is where they're losing these tight ones and these tight games, and why I don't think they're going to make it far this year.
I agree with you, man. Time to refocus, reload a little bit, maybe this offseason, man.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, Jake, my guy, appreciate you, man. I'm going to see you on Sunday. Yeah, Sports Sunday. We got it locked in, confirmed. Finally, Jake doesn't have to curse me out because I can't make it. I will be there this Sunday.
Kenny, I appreciate you, buddy, more than you know. Family over everything. And you are one of the biggest hustlers out of anybody I know in this area. So we appreciate you anytime you come on. We're excited to rock with you live on Sunday night on Sports Sunday. We'll have recaps of everything. From section championship games to the Kings game that's on Sunday night until hopefully a 49ers win as well.
Absolutely, man. Jake, I appreciate you making time for us, big dog.
Hey, tell Damian I'm mad at him.
Oh.
Okay? He didn't want to talk about my Huskies with me today.
Oh, okay? Well, I don't know. Maybe John in Connecticut might call later and talk about the Huskies. I don't know.
John from Connecticut can always call. You can always call. Always call. Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you, Jake, man. Take care, man. Jake Gayton, CBS 13. We're going to come back. Dame has let us know he's en route to the studio, so we'll have him soon. But in the meantime, we'll talk a little bit more about the 49ers, a little bit more about this Kings game coming up tonight. Me and Jesse, we're going to rock out for a little bit. It's D'Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station. Yes, sir. Back here, D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 on this rainy Friday. I didn't get an opportunity earlier to give the proper introductions because you know, we was trying to get the board set and all this other stuff, but I'm Kenny Caraway.
Acknowledge me.
Big ups. And oh, my bad. Where's the, now see, I don't know where this is at because it's, oh, there it is. We're broadcasting live
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
That's our best drop. That is our best one.
It's hilarious, man. It is absolutely hilarious. But yeah, man, Dame, he's on his way here. Had to handle a little business earlier, but he's on his way back here. We're talking Kings. They got the Clippers tonight at the Intuit Dome. 49ers this Sunday in Green Bay, where the snow's going to be at. Speaking of snow, did you watch the Thursday night game? I had no interest in watching Steelers Browns.
I saw parts of it yesterday. Kept up enough to know what was going on and all that.
First of all, shout out to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is. Did you see his pregame? His pregame speech.
I saw it went viral. I didn't see his speech. No.
Oh man, I gotta hold on. Let me see if I can find.
You want me to pull it up?
Yeah. Pull it up, man. Because Jameis is that, and you know we laugh, we have a good time with it. It feels like Jameis is like the one of the best people. You know what I mean? I don't know him. I don't know nothing about him personally or anything else like that. I know him from the way he speaks. He seems like a great guy. He seems like I saw a random video of Jameis Winston when he, I think, was with the Saints. He was at a Pelicans game and he was like just kind of walking through the crowd and people were like, hey Jameis or whatever. And he was just like so nice. He was so appreciative of people showing love and recognizing him. But he seems like a good person. Like, he seems like a down to earth person. So we have, you know, we laugh at these little pregame speeches, but they seem real. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like a real.
You might need to pull this up, by the way. I got kicked out of the ESPN 1320 account.
Oh no.
They Jamal Adams me.
Oh no.
This is ridiculous. Oh. This is ridiculous.
Jesse, Jen was here the other day. I don't know what that. Jen and Elena were here the other day. I don't know. But yeah, no, Jameis Winston, his pregame speeches, and they absolutely at this point go to Jameis Winston and talk to him on purpose, like Amazon or whoever. They know exactly what they're doing when they say, "Hey, let's go to Clarissa or Taylor Rooks talking to Jameis Winston before the game." Like, there's no other reason to talk to Jameis but before the game. Here we go. I got it right here. Let me get everything set up. But Jameis Winston had a pregame interview that just is Jameis Winston, man. Come on, man. How could you want it any other way? Let me see. Let me get this back to the beginning here. But it was just gold, man. Is Jameis doing Jameis things? And here is Jameis Winston pregame yesterday before the Steelers game. Oh, gotta get the
Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful. That the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio, at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
That's right, Jameis. That's right, Jameis.
Shout out Jameis Winston, man. Shout out.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to start running sprints in the hallway right now.
Shout out Jameis. Hold on, I got to ask that first question. I got to add it. He said something about the horse is going to war. What?
Yeah, we're like going to war, Kenny.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle.
What?
But victory comes from the Lord. So I'm
the horse is prepared.
Tell
for
Dame,
battle.
Take the day off. We got it. We got it.
I really do enjoy Jameis Winston. And like I said, it is genuine. I think it's genuine. Like, when he talks like this, this is just who he is. He's just so dramatic. That's the thing with Jameis. He's just a dramatic person.
So you think that smile
like going into the third down. So he just starts smiling. He looks like he's locked in. Like then he looks like he realized, oh, I'm cooking right now. Like this might be something. Like, do you think he knew what he was doing, or was it just Jameis is happy to be there?
Look, Jesse, before I answer that, I'm gonna let you be the judge. Let's hear Jameis again. Let's go.
Yeah, running back.
You don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord.
I hear you.
So I'm depending on the Lord.
Amen.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix.
He's thinking. He's going in his head right now. He's feeling it.
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio, at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
You have said.
Shout out Jameis Winston.
See, you know what? I think he looked up and realized, wow, it's snowing. And he's like, yeah, this is pretty tight. Shout out Jameis.
Man, you know, I get my chuckles off for it, but I mean it. I am very, like, serious. I like Jameis. I love when he speaks. He's a star when he speaks. And he never disappoints. He never disappoints. You know what's also interesting watching that game? And seeing him deliver a game-winning drive in snow like that.
Yeah.
Jameis got the tools. He's got the tools to be a good quarterback. I don't know if it's decision-making sometimes or whatever. Obviously, we've seen it enough with Jameis where we know he's not like a franchise QB. I'm not trying to
He's good enough to just be a quarterback in the NFL. Like I don't know what the threshold, like where you throw him or whatever, but he's Ryan Fitzpatrick, I guess.
Yeah. If like
maybe better.
What would be I don't know. Let's throw the 49ers out there, for example. I'm not saying this happens. But Brock Purdy probably not going to play on Sunday. Who knows how long he's out? It's a shoulder injury. Say Jameis was on the 49ers roster. Brock Purdy's out. Damn, we need somebody for the next 6 weeks. Jameis, I think, is
I feel
the type
good
of guy,
about the 49ers going forward.
Yeah, he's the type of guy, like, if you got him in a short dose, you know, six, seven weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you could be all right with Jameis Winston. Like, I think that might be his destiny in the league, is being somebody's backup, like break glass in the case of emergency.
I would take him as Tua's backup.
Yeah.
They probably needed Jameis Winston as his backup this year.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. And he made some big-time plays yesterday in that game against Pittsburgh. Tough loss for the Steelers.
Real quick, we love Twitter. Do you ever see, like, the pre-LASIK Jameis Winston tweets?
No. Oh,
you ever see, like, how Jameis Winston got LASIK? He's like, wow, now I can see. And, like, it's all different.
Jameis, well, he could see. But last night I saw the post-game interview live. He was back to pre-LASIK Jameis. He couldn't see nothing.
I saw a tweet yesterday that said, yeah, before now he's great. Before, he was just playing off of imagination.
Couldn't see. The man couldn't see 5 yards down the field and was out here damn near winning the Heisman.
He might be the funniest quarterback of all time.
Man, he's hilarious, man. He is hilarious. That loss for the Steelers, dropping them to 8-3, that's a tough loss. Not only because of the record, but that kind of sucks you had to play in that.
Yeah, to be honest, with the Steelers' loss, I have no issues with it.
Yeah.
If I'm Mike Tomlin, it's all right, boys. We lost the divisional game to the Browns in the snow in Cleveland. Like, we just beat Baltimore, so that's got to count for something as well.
Right.
So we just move forward and do better next week. Yeah, short week. So I'm not worried too much about the Steelers or anything. It's an AFC North. It's a tough game.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I don't know why George Pickens is trying to fight at the end of the Hail Mary. I love George Pickens. I'm just going to say I love George Pickens. I think he's a great receiver. I'll take the antics. I think you could fix him, all right?
Yeah.
You throw him on the right team, I think he'd be fine or whatever. But, yeah, I thought that was hilarious. But maybe don't do it then.
If it doesn't work with Mike Tomlin, then
that's a thing. Yeah. Usually if it doesn't, it goes pretty south after.
It actually feels like George has been good since Russell Wilson is.
Yeah. Like, George Pickens is good as long as he has a good quarterback throwing him the football. Like,
right.
You can't sell me on he's not a great wide receiver because Kenny Pickett couldn't get him the ball, or even Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, yeah. And it wasn't the talent level I questioned or anybody questioned. It was his mentals, right?
Like, yeah.
Is he locked in? And it seemed like he just didn't believe in Justin. And for a guy like George Pickens, that's the worst. Like, when he's hopeless, he's dangerous in a bad way because he just checks out mentally. And I think that's kind of what happened. And now he got Russ and he locked back in. But yeah, last play of the game. Hail Mary.
The ball ball's the there.
No, let's just fight. Let's fight.
I'm reading tweets. It's like, oh, yeah, George Pickens was awfully close to getting in the stands. I was like, oh, we also have Malice in the Palace, I guess.
let's just fight. This is good. No, don't worry about catching the ball. Don't worry about – there was, like, room and opportunity there. I don't know if he would have got it. I got to look at that play again. But no room and opportunity there. No, let's fight. Let's fight. That was great. Speaking of the Malice in the Palace, I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, because Jason Jones was here. We were going to talk about it then. But Tuesday, 20th anniversary. If you want to call it that, 20 years ago on that date, Malice in the Palace. What do you remember about that?
I was like seven.
Really?
Yeah, I was seven. Damn. Seven. Yeah, seven. Didn't you got it? So do you? I don't even really remember it. Like I don't remember sitting there by the TV. Remember stuff. Eating cereal, like watching. Oh my gosh, Dad! Look at Ron Artest just beat his ass. Like no, that didn't happen. I don't think I remember it all. Other than, I guess, like, just going back and watching videos of it all the time now.
That was...
Like, there's no firsthand memories of it.
That was crazy to see. I didn't see it live. I was in college. The volleyball team at Cal State East Bay had a game. It was a Friday night. So, you know, the coach was like, hey, you know, you support the other programs, you know what I mean, when you can. It was like Friday night. Volleyball game, like we're cool with like the girls on the volleyball team, so yeah, let's go check out their game or whatever. We're watching the game, not even thinking twice. Pacers Pistons was a big game at the time. It was a rematch of the conference finals. Pacers, you know, I think the Pistons had won the championship the year before, so you know the Pacers, it started off great. It was like, you know, it was a showdown. It was almost like Cavs Celtics, you know what I'm saying? It was something like that. And, you know, I was like, oh, that's a good game. You know, I'm gonna keep my eyes peeled on what happens. And my homeboy Brandon calls me. He's like, bro, are you watching the game? I said, nah, I'm up here at the volleyball game. He said, bro, they fighting in the stands right now. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. Like, it didn't hit me the magnitude of what was going on. He's like, bro, I've never seen anything like this. They're in the stands, all this other stuff. I was like, oh, man, that's a trip. And then I go back to watching the game, and I leave the game, and then I go to Sports Center, and I see what happened. I said, yo, this dude
this is real.
Yeah, this guy went in the stands.
Yes.
The people came on the court and tried to fight the
This
players.
Was also Pistons fans' fault. Like, Ron Artest, you can't go into the stands, and Steven Jackson, all you cannot do that. But this was Pistons fans' fault. He was just laying on the scores table at some point, man, at that point.
They lost it. The fans lost
it
in that situation. And just like the Pacers players, they ran on the court. The little the chubby Mexican guy comes on the court.
That was crazy. He's lucky. He's lucky he made it past that day.
It's like, are you for
real? If Ron Artest knew how to box a little bit.
They were 18 feet from the basket. So it wasn't even like, oh, he was on the baseline. Like, no, he stepped on where De'Aaron Fox operates, where DeRozan operates. He was there trying to fight Ron Artest. Crazy.
Soren in the chat throws it in here right here. One of my favorite quotes as well. Ron Artest in the locker room to Steven Jackson. Guys, hey, you guys think we're going to get in trouble? Like, just innocent Ron Artest.
Ron Artest, that was a different cat at that time, man. That was a different cat. But that moment was...
Reggie Miller was still on the team but not playing right.
Reggie Miller was, he was hurt. He was hurt. That's right. Still on the squad, man. Man, I got more I want to talk about with this one because it leads to another memory as well.
What comes close to that?
Well, is it? We gonna talk about we don't talk about that. But let's get to the phone lines. Who we got on the phone
line? We got
on
TC.
Oh man, we got my man TC on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. TC, what's up, big dog?
Oh man, what's up with the homies? Hey, what's up with the homies, man? It's you and Jesse in there, man. What's up with D-Lo? He all good?
No, D-Lo good, man. He's on assignment. He's hit us up. He's on his way in. You know, he is one of the hardest working men. We know he was out there working, but he about to tap in real soon, man. So it's all good.
Okay, we all good. We all good. But listen, hey, man, the Kings won by 7 tonight. We're going to get a big win. Hey, man, it's kind of shaky, man. The boy Brock, man, with the shoulder from that elbow. Kenny, it's over, man. Kenny. I mean,
what's over? You mean Brock is over?
Nah, it's over for the Niners, in general.
Well, I agree.
For them, Brock, I don't know. I mean, Brock, protect yourself, Brock. Don't let Kyle, don't let nobody talk you into playing. Crazy. Yo, shoulder jacked up, bro. Don't get no shots. Don't do none of that, big dog.
TC, how do you feel about the future, though?
About what? About the future with a Brock?
After the season, how do you feel about the 49ers after this season?
Oh, after this, listen, this season is over. Moving forward, Jesse, to be honest with you, bro, I don't know what's going on. Get cut loose. It's over. We're going to bring a new guy in. John could probably stay. I don't got ill will against John. You know what I mean? All my anger, bro, is towards Kyle. You get me? John could stay. Just get a good guy in here and y'all work together, John. That's all I got.
TC, let me ask you something real quick. Let's get down to the bottom. We got time today. You know, Dame coming through. We're going to talk Kings also. Why do you hate Kyle Shanahan?
It's multiple reasons, Kenny.
Okay.
It's multiple reasons because, for one, I don't think he's a leader of men. For two, he can't really develop or choose a quarterback, right? For three, he's not going to change any of his ways, change play call, nothing. Like anything that makes you a great coach. I don't care about winning, but you got to be able to adapt to your team and adapt to what's going on. Everything has to be his way. Bro, your way is not winning anything. I don't care about this. I don't care about any of that, bro. We're talking about the big one. We're talking about you not blowing leads and all that, bro. And you acting like you don't never do nothing wrong. You can't never like, oh, man, I got to change it. It's going to go this way. We go like, I'm cool on all that, Kenny. I used to be a big Shanahan guy, bro. Seriously. Until you start showing his true colors, bro. And I'm over that guy.
So real quick, let me ask you, and then I'll let you enjoy your Friday. How do you know he hasn't done any of that? How do you know? How do you know? How do you? Are you in the meeting rooms when they're game planning and Shanahan's like, I usually like to do this, but I'd rather do this, or I think this will work better. Like, how do you know he doesn't get out of his ways?
I think he said he had to call us back. No, I'm not even joking. I think he said that. Yeah, he did. He hung up. He had to go. A legend. They got him.
Shout out.
They got him.
Shout out to my man TC. I mean, and I love TC. Me and TC, we talk about it all the time, you know, offline. But I understand what he's saying. But when people say things like that, like he's stuck in his ways, he don't change what he does, all this other stuff. How do you know? How do you know? Like, how do you know Kyle Shanahan isn't in the meeting rooms talking to his players or talking to the other coaches and say, man, what I'd really like to do is I'd really like to run the ball this way, da-da-da-da-da, but, man, it hasn't been working. So, you know, if we're in a 2nd-and-11 situation, let's pass the ball when I normally like to run this. How do you know he don't say that?
Well, like, they got to 2 Super Bowls. Like, what did he need to do differently in those games then? Tell me that. They got to the games. They got to the games themselves that they needed to. What did he need to do differently in the Super Bowl that cost them? That's his fault where it's like, okay, we need to fire him.
One of their best players blew out his Achilles running onto the field in a game where he was the X factor in that game. He was killing. I really do believe if Dre Greenlaw is there, they win that game. He blows out his Achilles running onto the field. Like, come on, and that's all I say about that, right? Like, is how do you know for sure that Kyle or any coach is stuck underway? Are you in the meeting rooms? do people speak so matter of fact about things that you literally have no idea about? You just talking. And TC's my guy. I'm not getting at him. But I'm just saying, you're just talking. You have no idea that if he's changing his ways, quote unquote, or not. Like, you don't know. You don't know. So that's just the question I always ask. But we got more people on the
Elk. We got Leezy, and I believe that might be Titus after Leezy.
Okay, let's go with Leezy first, man. I want to hear my man Leezy Scorsese. Leezy, it's a Friday. I don't see you at the office. Where are you at, bro?
I'm on assignment as well.
Okay.
I'm driving.
Okay.
I'm driving back. Hey, okay. Thank you. Hey, I just want to say, you know, victory, the horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. hey, man.
It's different when Leezy says that.
Leezy Winston out here.
Bro, hey, the cool thing about Jameis Winston is who Russell Wilson thinks he is. You know, people get on Wilson about being cheesy and try to be this cool guy. Winston is him.
That's a good point.
I'm not even a Browns fan, but yesterday I was rooting for him, boy. I was ready to buy a jersey. but, hey, Casey, man, I just wanted to tap in with you guys. I don't know if you got the bee money yet. But, man, hey, I'm going to take Fox. I don't see anyone guarding him tonight. Okay. I'm going to get some Keegan threes. Mm. And I'm going to take some Zubac rebounds. He's pretty reliable for that. I think that's an easy, quick little three-pick B-Money. You know, I need it for the weekend.
Okay, I see you, Leezy. Number one, don't try and copyright B-Money. That's my creation. Settle down. You can have your Lee's money or something like that. But don't try and Bogard B-Money. But We appreciate the Beam Money is not ready just yet, but we appreciate the suggestions. The board will review those lineup plays that you have suggested. Thank you. That's Lee's money. That's not Beam Money. Money's not out yet.
Leezy made his picks like he was ordering food, too. Let me get some of those Zubac rebounds. Let me get three Keegan threes, please.
Zubac rebounds. Keegan threes.
Shout out, Leezy.
Shout out to my boy Leezy, man. And you said we let's go back to the phone line. We got Titus.
I believe this is Titus.
Ah, yeah, man. One of the real brothers of Sacramento. I think they're splitting up duty because Lewis was on the insiders yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think Titus handles D-Lo and KC, man. Titus, what's good, dog?
Yeah. No, I had tapped in with the insiders too early, but I didn't hear Lewis on there. But I don't know. Y'all got something going on, man. It's going to get worked out. I don't understand all the drama.
I don't even know what happened. I ain't got no issue with Lewis. Is my man.
I don't know if it's what it is. You feel me? But look, let me give my little couple things here. I wanted to respond. You said how he know about Kyle Shanahan and all that, right?
Yeah.
Is he setting his ways, and has he tried to make adjustments, this, that, the third? Uh-huh. Okay, don't we know about Jerry Jones? We know he's setting his ways, and we don't know 100%, but yeah, we do. So I just wanted to get that off real quick. Mm. Now, the main thing is the Kings, and but give me my response on both.
Okay.
But the main thing is the Kings, and I was sleeping on this too. I'm like, why are players like, say, Fox, he not getting his notoriety. Sabonis, he not getting it. But I figured it out, right? Guess what? Because we ain't winning. When we was winning, all our Kings players always got notoriety in the past. Mm-hmm. Whether you feel me? Whether we went and play out slumps or whatever, but the years when we won, our stars always got supported. They hating on Sack, but we're not winning. That's what I got.
Okay. I hear you, Titus. And look, you're right. I mean, if they win, if they're playing winning basketball, if they're a top four, top six team, you know, there will be some notoriety given to what's going on. My thing with that is you had history. I don't care if you're LaMelo Ball. You had history take place over the weekend with De'Aaron Fox. And, yeah, he should have got more sign for what he did than what he got. Now, he got some shine. He was on NBA Today, and that's cool. I think he was also on he was talking to your boy, I think, Jesse. He was talking to
Who's my
your boy, Paul Pierce.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, that's it. That's your boy Paul Pierce still doing his thing at FS1, you know what I mean?
But they kind of just let him do whatever, I feel. What like, saying. His contract is like, I'm going to show up, but everything else is up to me. I guess we all kind of would want that deal.
So, yeah, he got that, but I just thought there should have been – I compare it to others, and maybe you shouldn't do that. I compare it to if Halliburton or Jokic or anybody had the same type of weekend, that we wouldn't be able to escape it. And I don't think winning – has anything to do with it. I think it's the individual and how they cover those players. As far as your 49ers and Jerry Jones and all this other stuff.
I don't like that one. Like, Kyle Shanahan wins still. They win.
Yeah.
They win. Like, I get it, it's not a Super Bowl and all that, but they still win.
Yeah, it's a winning team. Is he perfect? Does he make the right decision every time? No, absolutely not, but nobody does. You know what I mean? I don't understand, like, If everybody is convinced that Kyle just runs the ball, that's all he ever wants to do. He don't let the players play. Don't let the quarterbacks quarterback and all this other stuff. Well, 2nd-and-11, you know, with trying to put the game away, that passing the ball there isn't necessarily a Kyle Shanahan thing, correct? That's what everybody says. He passed on 2nd-and-11. He tried to make a play, and he drew up the correct play. It wasn't executed. So – I'm just in general, I'm like the type of guy where I'm always talking about the players got to make the plays. You know what I mean? The play was drawn up in that situation. Brock makes a good throw to Debo. You know, they win that game, and we're having a little bit of a different conversation. It didn't happen, and that's what it is. Even a lot of the times, you know, on the flip side, you know, RIP flip side, when people talk about this player or this coach is this great and all this other stuff, you're only as great as the players around you a lot of the times. So you can draw up the plays. If they're executing and making the plays, you know, I give more credit to the players a lot of the times than the coaches. The coaches have a role in it, but, you know, you got to salute those players for making plays. So we are going to step out real quick. I wanted to talk a little bit more about how close to that Malice in the Palace that we have gotten, because specifically, I know for a fact, one time where we were real damn close. We'll talk about that on the other side. Like I said, Dame should be here in just a little bit. Yeah, it's a Friday. We're getting you through this rainy Friday on D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
That's D-Lo's music. That's D-Lo's music. Heart Part 6 or Dodger Blue
man,
playing
for
you.
Well, I was speculating here, that was your favorite song.
Well, just settle down.
Me and Jason Jones was texting. You think it's Dodger Blue?
Calm down.
Did you actually listen to it?
I did listen to it. I was excited to hear it. I listened to it on the way in. Mm-hmm. I thought it was good. I thought it was a dope album. You know me. I'm not the type to.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to ask your opinion because you don't listen to, like, you have to listen to it a couple
of times.
Yeah,
I got to sit with it a little bit, but I listened to the whole thing. I really liked it.
I liked it.
I think the Heart Part 6 is probably my favorite song right now.
Really?
That's the Kendrick I like.
Wow.
I don't like Voice Change Kendrick too much. I shouldn't say I don't like it, but
I love Voice Change.
The Heart
Change
Part
Kendrick.
6 is my favorite Kendrick. I'll
okay.
put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I listened to it. I caught it early. I just happened to look at Instagram and saw.
You dropped the bomb on us?
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait, what? Grabbed the album, listened to it straight because I had to record. I was sitting down to record the KSFM segment, which is about new music. And I was about to trash Ice Cube. And then it was like, oh, God.
Cube.
Well, actually, there's actually a few tracks on Cube's album that's like, okay, this isn't bad. Like, this sucks. This sucks. This is okay. This is good. This is ass. So I had to listen to it. Mm-hmm. So I let it play. I think it was like 45 minutes. And I was like, wow, this is really different. Mm-hmm. This is really good, but it's really different. And then, you know, thankfully I had to go out to Sky River today, and that was a 50-minute drive. So I listened to it uninterrupted the whole way down.
Yeah.
And uninterrupted the whole way back from mm-hmm. beginning to end. And it's a really, really different album.
It's an LA album. And it is.
It's bangers. There's no thread. There's no, you know, there's no, he's telling stories in the record, but it mm-hmm. doesn't feel like there's a theme like there is in Good Kid, To Pimp a mm-hmm. Butterfly, even Damn.
Right.
It has a, there's a story there. This just felt like tracks.
It felt, so a lot of people, they're speculating, and I understand it's more of a mixtape.
That's fine.
They point to what you talk about with like no real theme to it.
Mm-hmm.
They point to a lot of young LA artists on it, making it sound a little bit more like a mixtape. And the album is still to come because that snippet that was out there that I didn't catch till after the album was out. That snippet, whatever that song is, isn't on this mm-hmm. album, mixtape, whatever. So there's speculation that there's another album dropping at some point soon. So, yeah, I liked it, though, man. I like the L.A. sound. Like, somebody said it perfectly. It's just an album full of songs people can walk to.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I think it sounds good. Like I said, I want to listen to it again and again.
Yeah.
But first listen,
The first three tracks. Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
Yeah, the first three tracks were, like, because Luther has the Poetic Justice type feel to it. Yeah, he did that.
I like that.
But he came out with just like 5 minutes of rapping.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, man. And then, which I thought was brilliant, he came out, he spitting, he addressed Lil Wayne mm-hmm. and all of that, and then dropped the sample everyone was waiting for, dropped mm-hmm. the full track of Squabble, which we know is now.
Rock Lake.
Yeah, we know it's Squabble Up now. We're going to have to tell Complex we need to make some changes over at 102.5. People are going to hear that and kind of bug out.
Yeah.
But hearing that in its entirety for the first time after that first song was brilliant construction of the album.
Because
I know that was the first song I was seeing, and I saw the song Reincarnated. I was like, well, that's probably it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know my rule is you listen to the way the artist created
Absolutely.
It from beginning
Absolutely.
To end.
Yeah, yeah.
And when that track dropped second, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I heard Reincarnated, which was, that's the Pac record.
Yeah, I thought he killed that too.
He did. Yeah. He rapped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he absolutely rapped. This album is, or mixtape or whatever, you know, it's going to be, is spectacular.
He's one of the greats, man. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I'll continue to listen.
Mustard! fired.
I enjoyed the album, man. So that was a pleasant surprise for everybody on this Friday.
Did you and Eddie talk about it? I didn't. I had to log off right when Eddie logged in because festivities were starting.
That's how we started, man. We started talking about that, man. And his opinion is much of the same, man. Hearing new music from me, at least, from any of these top guys. Like when Cole drops new music, I'll be hyped. Mm-hmm. When Drake drops new music, I'll be hyped. I like hearing from these big time artists, and Kendrick is obviously no different. When he drops something, everything stops. And you know, I don't even really listen to, like, I don't do New Music Friday like that. You know what I'm saying? I kind of get to it when I get to it, or you know, if it starts making waves, I'll go listen to it. Yeah. You know, the songs and projects like that. But as soon as you sent that text, and I thought it was a song at first, and then I opened it up, I'm like, oh, it's an album. Yeah, 9 o'clock. Okay, yeah, I gotta listen to Kendrick. I gotta hear what it is. So. Yeah, it was good to hear.
It's kind of the downside to New Music Friday because I can't really digest it, but it's important to what we do on KSFM. And it's tough. Like I was like, I don't want to like go too hard on Cube's record. I need to listen to it a couple times. I'm not going to listen to it again. Mm-hmm. Like I listened to it a little bit last night. I finished it this morning. It's like, I'm not going to run this back. Like I could pull some records off of it and put it on a playlist or whatever. But it's kind of the downside to having to digest the music is that quick.
Yeah.
So I had to do the Corners of the Culture review on it right after I heard it. But you can dumb it down and just like the story isn't what album it is or the story isn't what kind of album it is. The story is that the album exists.
I'm sorry. The Tribal Chief, this is the second time he looks at me.
Are you confused? Like. You know this show is live, pal.
This is the second time he's done this
this is a live radio show. Like,
ask them if they want to come inside.
Do you want to come in and talk? Do you want it? Here. You guys want to?
This is the second. No, this is the second time in the last 20 minutes the Tribal Chief has looked at me menacingly.
Are you confused?
I just don't understand. Like,
let the people hear your voice. You got the voice of radio.
Why is he over there?
Because I was visiting our biggest partner today, and I just got here. Right. Yeah. So this is old Aaron, and this is new Aaron.
I don't think new Aaron has.
I've just found out about this new Aaron, old Aaron.
Really?
At lunch.
Really? What did you think we were referring to you as? Well, we refer to you as the Tribal Chief.
That's when I stopped listening.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. Really, you just learned about old Aaron, new Aaron today.
I have no fear of missing out.
That's spectacular.
Or as you would call it, FOMO.
Well, I wouldn't call it that, but I appreciate you.
Yeah. All right, we need to get out of here. I saw you in here before. You look sad and alone.
Well, yeah, it's different without Damien. You know,
Jesse giving no support, by the way.
No, Jesse been here. He been here.
Wow. I wouldn't say, wow. Hey, no. Wow. No, Aaron buys in and out on Tuesday while I'm on vacation.
See, you got me fooled because Aaron, he comes to the glass and he's like, he gives me the Meet the Fockers. He's, you know, he gives me that.
Oh,
right?
That was bold.
Yeah, well, I was careful. But he gives me that look. And I'm like, when I see Aaron and he acknowledges me, I'm like, oh, In-N-Out is here. So I look to the counter. No, In-N-Out. I was a little disappointed, but it's all good.
I mean,
he hooked it up earlier in the week.
In-N-Out and Free Donut Friday. I mean, I'm trying to keep you guys, you know, Run to Feed the Hungry is right around the corner.
That's right. That's right. Shout out to. Throw my ones up. The Tribal Chief, man.
Tribal Chief is
shout out to him.
Yeah, and then
I don't know. I'm cooked.
And man, it's Fatu. Jacob Fatu here.
It's our man, new Aaron right there. the new Stacy, I guess we call him.
I might get designated for an assignment after this.
Oh, man.
Well, the
Jesse getting
out.
Sent down to 1140.
What? The story comes out.
We wouldn't do that. That's crazy.
The story comes out. Jesse ain't even met new Aaron yet.
Well, Jesse's not the social guy. Like, that is not Jesse.
I was telling Candy, though, like, I've never really needed to meet a boss. Like, it's always kind of just worked out where, like, hey, Jess, you're the one who kind of just works here, right? Yep. And, like, you guys talk to them for me and stuff. They know what I do.
No, that's true. But it doesn't hurt to say, like.
Well, what do I do? Like, how do I do that? Just go in and be like, hey, what's up, Aaron? I'm Jesse. Like, that's it?
Sure.
It's like small talk.
Have you ever met somebody before?
I don't do small talk, dude.
No, I understand that. But, like, do you do introductions?
Not really. I didn't talk to you guys till like, 3 months into the
show.
That's
a fact. That's a shoot.
Like, I didn't start talking to you guys till we had something to talk about.
He's consistent.
Danny told him, man, I don't want Jesse talking on the show. Jesse thought that, man, don't talk to us.
Like, everyone in my life that I talk to, now, I've known for, like, 10 years and stuff like that. We don't do small talk.
He really doesn't. Oh, like, man. I have to tell people, like, when Upfront rolls around, like, hey, Jesse's not a part of this. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, no, he'll be as miserable as can be. Just let him go home.
I showed up for Upfront when I was here for 15 minutes.
No, and you hated it. No,
you guys just don't need me for this.
You shook the spot. Yeah,
it's fine.
All good. It's all good. But in conclusion, I love what I've heard so far.
I love that the guy in charge of the radio station stands outside the window.
Just outside the window, then gets in here, stands as far away from the mic as he possibly
like
can.
Like he has no clue how this operation
and
runs.
And then he was pacing around. Like, sir.
This is a weird company. I'm thankful for it. This is a very weird company.
Absolutely.